Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm open arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Maddie Kay, and I guess I would classify this as a cautionary tale. Going in cold here with an article from the New York Times from the business section, because we are the Working Experience. I have to admit, I rarely read the New York Times, though I do have a subscription for it, and I can just go right onto my laptop and get it. Which I rarely ever do, but I thought maybe for this episode I'll use an article and look at what other people have said about a topic, and I'll use that to form my opinions. What a novel idea. You know, usually I just blather off on whatever I think, because, you know, numbers and facts and all that, they just, they overwhelm me. But I thought for this one, you know what, I'm going to buck the trend here. So this is about a business called Wish, which I have never heard of. I do not get onto these like Rakuten, what are these other sites that people buy? And Etsy, I think it might be one of them. We did a podcast on this a long time ago. People sell stuff on them, they buy stuff on them, and apparently they're, you know... There was like Overstock.com, which I think is legit. I've never used it before. And I'm sure you can save a lot of money, but of course you're spending money. I guess, look, if you have an old pair of shoes and you've barely ever worn them, you bought them, they don't fit, you don't really like them, that's one thing. You know, you can sell them. But people really seem to go down a rabbit hole with this stuff, and it's probably one of the reasons you see that show Hoarders on. Like, people go online and they buy all this stuff. But anyway, the title of this article is How Wish Built and Fumbled a Dollar Store for the Internet. The number of users has plummeted and its stock price has dropped. Former employees point to an emphasis on short-term growth over customer service. That's why I call this a cautionary tale. I guess if you're just into things to make a quick buck and get out, that's one thing. But if you really want to grow a business, I guess you have to think in two modes. You do have to think short term. You got to keep the doors open and the lights on and all that. But I guess you also have to kind of see where you want to go with the business long term. So This, as I said, is an article from the New York Times, and it says there were unbelievable bargains on Best Deal 9, a store hosted on the e-commerce platform Wish. Okay, so it's an e-commerce platform. As any of you know who have listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know words or terms like e-commerce and platform. I don't really understand what all of that means. But a place that hosts other businesses, a business that hosts other businesses, hard for old Maddie to wrap his head around, I'll tell you that. All right, sorry, let me start from the top here. There were unbelievable bargains on Best Deal 9, a store hosted on the e-commerce platform Wish, including a $2,700 smart TV being sold for $1, and a gaming computer advertised for $1.30. Now, I'm not J.P. Morgan. I'm not John Rockefeller. I'm not Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. I'm not a business person. You could classify me sometimes being somewhat gullible. You know, I tend to believe that, you know, people do the right thing for the right reason. But if even I saw a $2,700 television being sold for $1, I might doubt that a little bit. I might think, really? Is that really true? Turns out it wasn't. None of the offers were real, and Wish knew it. Oh, my faith in humanity has just plummeted. The company, an online novelty emporium that had more than $2 billion in sales last year by dangling hard-to-believe discounts, created Best Deal 9 as an experiment. Listings that had been removed for violating Wish policies were reposted on Best Deal 9 and used in part to track whether shoppers complained when their orders never arrived. Well, that's interesting. Why? I mean, you're intentionally pissing people off to see if they complain about it. Employees working on the project repeatedly pushed executives to take down the store, arguing that it was both illegal and unethical. Wow, come on. These busybodies, these do-gooders, these goody-goodies, illegal, unethical. It's the business world. Get your head out of the sand. So employees working on the project wanted the executives to take it down, saying it was illegal and unethical, according to three employees familiar with the project who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss company matters. More than 213,000 people made purchases from the store, according to an internal document reviewed by the New York Times, though the document did not say how many of them received their items. Tarek Fahmy, then the senior vice president of engineering in charge of the project, ended it in 2020 after it operated for several months, the employees said. Mr. Fahmy, who has since left Wish, did not respond to requests for comment. Wish declined to comment on Best Deal 9. Several employees said Best Deal 9 is indicative of the kind of practices giving priority to short-term growth over customer service that initially turned Wish into an advertising and retail behemoth, but have now left it desperately trying to right itself. I've never even heard of this company. Advertising and retail behemoth. I mean, I can't be that out of touch, can I? Since its founding in 2010, Wish had many of the hallmarks of a classic Silicon Valley success story, started by a young coder and his college friend rumored to have turned down a $10 billion acquisition offer from Amazon and described by Recode as an app that could be the next Walmart. It developed a reputation as the dollar store of the internet, shipping odd gimcracks and thingamajigs directly from vendors in China. It blitzed shoppers with viral online ads for $1 plastic tongue clamps, $3 leather-face diapers for cats, and a $2 handful of worms. good Lord, is this what people, you know, people talk about being under financial pressure. This is what, who fills their house with this crap? For a while, the company was the top advertiser on Facebook and Instagram and among the biggest on Google, spending more than $1 billion on sales and marketing last year. The Los Angeles Lakers won the NBA championship in 2020 with the Blue Wish logo on their jerseys thanks to a multi-year marketing partnership. They can do that? God, that is really depressing. This article, I mean, beyond being a cautionary tale, this is really depressing. Like, this is what people spend their time doing? Selling plastic tongue clamps? This is, you know, I think one of my first guest was Erin Griffith, and we were talking about workism, about how, you know, people, it was sort of a badge of honor to be spending 80, 90, 100 hours a week at work. And she made the point at like, all right, but doing what? I mean, this is what you're doing? I mean, if you're spending 100 hours in the lab trying to find a cure for leukemia, then, you know, my hat's off to you. But this? Ugh. The company had 1,218 employees at the end of 2021. Half of its six offices were in China. At the headquarters in San Francisco, there were catered lunches, a bar for happy hours and parties, and a cafeteria with floor-to-ceiling views of downtown and the Golden Gate Bridge. There's your office perks. Peter, oh, I'm going to have a problem with this last name. Peter Zaleski, the company's former chief executive, once compared Wish's success to Donald J. Trump's 2016 election victory, explaining that both the company and the candidate had appealed to the invisible half of Americans who were routinely overlooked by political pundits and Silicon Valley elites and who are buying leather-faced diapers for their cats, apparently. But Wish squandered its early promise, according to interviews with nine former employees. Deceptive experiments like Best Deal 9 drove customers away, as did low product standards and unreliable shipping. Yeah, you got to get your tongue clamp. I mean, if I order a tongue clamp, I want my tongue clamp. When the rising cost of ads forced it to scale back on its marketing, the company struggled to attract new shoppers. Wish is now scrambling to turn itself around. The company declined to make its newly hired crop of executives available, but said in a statement that over the past 6 months, Wish has undergone a massive transformation. We have already seen significant traction and remain committed to executing against our priorities and building a long-term platform for growth. Remain committed to executing against our priorities. I don't really understand what that is. It sounds like the priorities are the enemy. But anyway, that's what they said. But for Wish, making growth a priority over all else proved to be crippling in the long run. Okay, so they had problems before, and I guess trying to grow caused them to make these kind of bad decisions. With even stricter quality controls on products, merchants, and delivery, revenue in Wish's most recent fiscal quarter plunged 76% from a year earlier. It reported on May 5th. There were 27 million monthly users at the end of the first quarter, compared with 101 million a year earlier. The company went public in 2020 at $24 a share and now trades at less than two. Well, it might be time to swoop in and scoop up that stock. I'll call my guy. Companies are supposed to evolve and mature, said Christian Lyman, who was Wish's head of growth and acting chief marketing officer in 2016 and 2017. The easiest way to say what happened is that what worked for it stopped working and it never evolved. For years, what worked was advertising. Until recently, Wish said its marketing machinery operated at a gargantuan scale, claiming a job posting this spring that sends billions of emails, push notifications, and texts each day. Oh, God. It sends me into existential despair thinking of those things. Let me go back to that. operated until recently, Wish said its marketing, claiming it's just like they're bragging about it, that its marketing machinery operated at a gargantuan scale, claiming in a job posting this spring that sends billions of emails, and push notifications. I'm not exactly sure what that is. And texts each day. Oh, God. Just the sheer numbers. They baffle me. The company also maintained a sprawling mansion in Bel Air where influencers were invited to produce content against Wish-branded backdrops and to attend events such as Pink Prom. Oh, this is what we're doing. During the pandemic, the police were called twice to a raucous, largely mask-free Halloween party at the property, which Wish rented until late 2021. It is now available for lease at $300,000 a month. Wow, geez, a bargain. But first and foremost, Wish was a crazy superpower in digital ads. That sounds like that's what this company is. Like, I mean, the products they sell are garbage. Nobody needs them. They're like an ad company. But first and foremost, Wish was a crazy superpower in digital ads, Mr. Lyman said, using algorithms to serve ads to shoppers through Facebook and Google. Serve ads. Oh, dear Lord. The company's founders had been math students at the University of Waterloo and recruited their first 10 employees from the Canadian school's math department. Well, that's putting that to good use. In an interview with his alma mater, Mr. Zaskulski described Wish as very embedded in a culture of logic. He and Mr. Zhang did not respond to requests for comments for this article. After graduating, he became a software engineer at Google and took inspiration from the tech giant's powerful automated ads business while building his own company, Mr. Lyman said. Does this sound like a house of cards to anybody else? But many of those ads were delivered to people who had no interest in prosthetic feet or hats shaped like roasted turkeys. It was as if Wish were throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks, an associate communications professor at Syracuse University said. Well, I guess that's part of being a company, sure, but, you know, seeing what works, but I don't know. It just sounds like there's nothing here to this. Oh, here's a picture of somebody wearing a hat. It's a plush. Oh, it's an ad from Wish with somebody wearing a plush hat shaped like a turkey. I wonder how much that sells for. Customers have complained to the Better Business Bureau about Wish products that never arrived or were unrecognizable when they did. Look, come on. You're ordering turkey hats. I mean, what? Oh, sorry. I'm just having a Monica. You can edit that out. That long silent pause. I'm trying to digest this. I didn't know this existed. I'm trying to digest it. France, which is one of Wish's largest markets, ordered search engines and mobile app stores last fall to remove the company from their online listings, citing the presence of dangerous appliances and other products. Merchants on Wish faced lawsuits from companies like Peanuts Worldwide, which owns characters from the popular comic strip, claiming trademark infringement and counterfeiting. Oh, Peanuts, like Charlie Brown and all that. Female shoppers complained about being shown ads for products designed for male genitalia. Ads that showed an animated penis appeared on apps that could appeal to children, including a game called Crazy Cake Swap. Those ads drew scrutiny from British advertising regulators, as did ads promising unsubstantiated discounts of up to 98% for sneakers, as well as ads featuring a baby's exposed bottom and a woman in a corset with her breasts partly revealed. Oh, these people are just absolutely soulless. It's a strategy that's more similar to spam than actually trying to hit a target market, Ms. Greigel said. Wish said it was tightening its advertising controls, promoting products only from top-rated merchants, and filtering out inappropriate ads. Still, Wish which is run by a parent company. Oh, so there's a parent company to Wish, and Wish is also a parent company to other companies. Wow. Still Wish, which is run by a parent company called Context Logic, did well early in the pandemic as stay-at-home mandates stifled competition from physical retailers. But last year, as shoppers were venturing more out more and more and becoming less engaged on Wish, digital advertising was also becoming more expensive, causing the company to scale back its spending. It said it planned to pick up the pace this summer. Oh, thank God. Pressure also built internally at Wish for years. Managers were constantly shifted around like chess pieces, one employee said, which resulted in high turnover among workers fed up with the upheaval. Many employees complained that the company was not equipped to handle the orders that poured in early in the pandemic, and colleagues burned out under the intense stress and long hours. Stress for what? I mean, this is like, this is what people were doing during the pandemic, sitting home and ordering this crap. And this is what these people are doing, just pushing out ads, and they're working long hours, and this is causing intense stress and pressure. These people aren't doing anything. Wow, this is like capitalism at its best. Employees said their peers were often ignored or made to wait after raising concerns about quality control issues, such as the lack of standardized product sizing for merchants. Listings for weapons and other illegal products were often not removed, they said. Neither were many misleading listings, like the one that appeared to offer a refrigerator for $1, but was actually selling the magnets shown in the photo of the appliance. Wow, that is quite an indictment of our system. I'm just going to skip to the bottom here. We are going through a lot of new growth, the company wrote under one review, and a great deal of change. It sounds like this is the most useless, pointless company I have ever heard of. And I can't believe people actually engage with this thing. Having said that, Wish, if you would like to advertise on the Working Experience podcast, you just let me know. I would say maybe, I'll say a year of free lunches at the fast food restaurants of my choice. And that would be pretty good. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. And we'll be back at you real soon with more, hopefully, insightful commentary on the state of our system. Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media. If you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.